But I first have to obey what the Spirit of God said. Of course, you know, as your pastor, I've told you that I don't look at the giving letters, and I don't look at the weekly offerings. So for me to know whether or not this is the case, I don't know. But in my spirit, I must say, if you're not tithing and you're not a giver, that will disqualify you from this working in your life. And so number one, if that's not in place, what's a tithe? The tithe is 10 part right off the top. And so if you're not a tither, and I know we even have some business owners up here as well, and so if you're not tithing off your business will struggle. And so, again, I don't know whether you're doing that or not. I just know that's my heart. And so I'm going to lay hands on you. It's going to break it off you. But also this is what the Lord said, too, that once this happens, you go forth in faith, but be listening to Him, because at times God will instruct you of what to do. It might be sowing a seed. It might be making an investment. It might be a new business opportunity. But there's an avenue that God is trying. It might be your love walk. He'll show you what it is and tell you clearly. And so I believe that anointing will be part of it for that clarity. So in the name of Jesus, the anointing breaks the yoke. You said so, Father. Just go ahead and in the name of Jesus, be free from that. We command the money to come. Devil, take your hands off their finances. And angels, go forth and cause all the money to come. In fact, I speak that over every single one of these people. Devil, loose it. Let it go. Now, angels, go forth and bring the money in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Be free from that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Now, if you got hands laid on you for that, just thank Him for the money. Thank Him, it's coming. Say, it's coming. It's coming. The money's coming. Say, I'm a money magnet. Say, I'm a money magnet. Glory to God. The money's coming. The money's coming. The money's coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The money's coming. 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 It's not God's will for you to stay broke. It's not God's will for you to struggle financially, and He's got the answer to it. Amen? And that anointing will break it. And I've had that work in my life with Dr. Dufresne, where he broke the anointing off me. But then when that yoke's broken, you can hear from God more clearly. And there's clarity and there's direction. And we've commanded the devil to take his hands off. The angels will go forth. But now be aware. Whatever God says to you, just do it. Amen? Father, we love you. We praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you. Their lives will never be the same. Thank you so much. I had a lady, before you're seated, I had a lady. Mom, in case, I don't think they would care if I use the name, but I'll get their permission before I do. But I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was the last time there was anointing for that. And they came forward for that. And they said after that, the dam busted in their life. And this is actually, she sent both of us entitled to both of us a long email and just saying after that day. And so, you know, God doesn't love that person more than He loves you. So be claiming that the dam is about to burst. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless you for it. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, is there anything else before we... Anything else, Lord? Hallelujah. Isn't it just like God to know exactly what we need? I mean, that's a bunch of people that came up. Amen? We need all these people thriving financially. We got a building to pay off. We got a plan outside these walls to take care of. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for what we're about to receive tonight. We thank you for the word. We thank you we'll be changed. We'll walk out of here different. Lord, and we'll give you the praise. Thank you for utterance and boldness tonight. And we give you the glory and you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's amazing, too, that that's what the Lord would say, especially with what I'm preaching on tonight, because of my testimony when... Pastor Nancy preached that sermon after I had hands laid on me. But if you have your Bibles, go to Romans 12 and verse 2. I do encourage you to bring your Bibles. Romans 12 and verse 2 is where we're going to go tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, He's good. He's so good. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to the world. What's he saying? Stop doing it the world's way. Right. Amen. The world is what you want to come out of. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this verse is very popular and common, and I think it might be one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. But here he tells us right here, transformation is available. Well, what happens to a caterpillar? It transforms into something, right? It changes into something. Well, when God says to be transformed, he's talking, and he gave us context of from the world, he wants us to be transformed more into his image. Well, his image is prosperity. His image is health. His image is joy. His image is peace. His image is freedom from depression, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, all that stuff. His image is abundant life. He wants you to be transformed. And he says you can be transformed, but he gives you the avenue in which transformation comes. Amen? He says to be transformed or changed, the only way possible is through the renewing of the mind. There's no other way to get change other than the renewing of the mind. Let me just say this before I say that the Bible says here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may. So he says the purpose, there's a purpose of the renewing of the mind that you may prove or walk out that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's highest and best for your life, which again, includes all the money you need, includes the right people that you need to be connected to, includes the health, includes the joy, includes the favor, includes the protection for your life. God's highest and best will only come to pass in your life if the mind is renewed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The mind must be renewed. Now that word renewed, I'll give you the definition of that word renewed here, but Brother Hagin said this, the greatest need in the body of Christ is for Christians to renew their mind. And you're going to see tonight, we talk about faith a lot, but faith doesn't even happen without the renewal of the mind. If you're thinking wrong, you're going to be receiving wrong and living wrong. But that word renewal means renovation. The Bible says that we must have a mind renovation. Renovation means to restore something to a good condition. Now, when you got born again, your spirit was not restored. Your spirit was made brand new. You didn't get a bandage or someone, you know, God didn't send in his spiritual home makeover team to your spirit. No, he took out the old and gave you new and said, you are a new creation. Well, your body didn't change. Your mind didn't change. And so now he says what you do with your mind is you need to renovate your mind. Take what is there and renovate it. Restore it to a good condition. Amen. Now think about a renovation of a home. Well, there's a difference in a renovation of a home and a brand new build. A brand new build, you start with nothing and build up. A renovation, you take what is there and make it better. But what's the first thing that must be done in a renovation? You got to gut the old. You got to go in and clear out the old and demolition day, right? Knocking all the old stuff down, hauling it out of there, getting it ready to put something back in. And that's what needs to happen to our mind. Transformation, and see, it's every area of the word our mind has to be transformed to. We can walk in the light of prosperity, but be sick in our health if our mind's not renewed to what the Bible says about health. We got to renew our minds or renovate our minds to every area, every room, you could say, needs a gut job and then a replace job. Amen? And the problem is we have a lot of wrong thinking, and the thinking starts the believing, and then the believing leads to the receiving. And so we need to gut it out, and we need to replace it. But what do we replace it with? Well, thank God the Bible has the answer. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and let's go to verse 21. She said, our minds need to be renewed if we're going to have transformation. Now I'm just going to tell you what Pastor Nancy said to me. When I had hands laid on me for that same anointing that was in that room that night. Now, I'm not saying my anointing was the same as Dr. Dufresne's, but that anointing to break that financial bondage off of you. Well, she didn't just leave it at that. Because once something's broken and maybe something's removed, something has to be replaced. Or the wrong things will come in. Isn't that what the Bible says the devil does? That when a demon is cast out, I'm saying nobody had demons cast out of them, but there's a principle here to learn. That when a demon is cast out, it goes and it searches somewhere else to go into. When it finds no place to go, it comes back. And if it finds the original dwelling place empty, says, oh, look, there's place for me to take up residence. And the Bible says it's seven times worse than it was before. But that's why when things like this happen, when it's broke off of you, or when healing hands are laid on you, you got to put something in to yourself to walk that out and to carry that out. Well, he said in James chapter 1 and verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Receive, that's taking something in. That's called getting the old out and putting something in. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or rescue your souls. Now, you have to understand something. In verse 2, we don't need to turn there, but in verse 2 of this same book, James is addressing a certain audience, and he says, my brethren. Now, James is a Christian. That means James is saying, my fellow Christians, my fellow believers, amen? So he's already talking to people who have had their spirits made brand new, amen? So when he says, save your souls, he's not talking about the spirit of man. Their spirits have already been saved. They're born again and on their way to heaven. When he's talking about souls here, he's talking about the mind, the will and the emotions of a person. But he says if you'll receive the word, it will save or rescue your mind. Well, the Bible says to be transformed by renewing, putting something good or bettering your mind. Well, the Bible tells you exactly what it is. Our minds must be renewed with the Word of God. Now think about it in terms of a home renovation. You gut out the old, you come to Him as a Christian, you come into being a believer, and you come in with all sorts of different ideas, right? All sorts of beliefs about money, all sorts of beliefs about relationships, all sorts of beliefs about how to live your life, what's right, social issues. You come in with all these preconceived ideas and stereotypes, and then you come in and you're rocked by the Bible. Say, wow, that's not what I thought, or that's not how I feel about things. And so we know that God's ways, can we all agree that God's ways are best? Can we all agree that He knows what He's talking about? That His ways are infinitely higher and better? Can we all agree that He's got the most wisdom, the most love? He's so caring and compassionate. His word is best. Amen? And so we want to get rid of our ways, our thoughts. And the Bible even tells us His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. That His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He already tells us. You don't want your stuff. You want His stuff. And so He says, get rid of what you think and replace it with my word. Now think about it. When you replace it with the word, say, for example, you were to renovate a bathroom. Well, maybe they come in and they take out the old toilet and they take out the old shower. Well, they replace it with something, don't they? They replace it with a new toilet. They replace it with a new shower. Well, here's the thing. When that new stuff's put in, guess what you're stuck with? That's what you have to use. There's no choice of, it's in there now. I wish I could use the old one. No, it's in there. Oh, that toilet, I'd like to sit on the old one. Nope, it's in there. My point is this. When you renew your mind to the Word of God, whatever He says, whatever He has put in the Bible, you don't question it because that's what's there now. Amen. And that's how you live your life. Praise God. And that's where people struggle. So we're going to help you with some of those things today. Look at different stories. Look at different situations. So many people, now if you've said this to me or thought this way, we're not beating you up because I'm going to tell myself here first. So many people approach the Word from a religious standpoint, which the religious standpoint and what the devil wants people to do is the devil wants God's hands to be tied and he wants your hands to be tied. Well, the quickest way that you can tie God's hands is to have a que sera, sera attitude saying whatever will be, will be. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. But that's just not how the Word works. God says we do, then God does after what He says. Well, so many people approach it the wrong way and they're sitting around waiting for God to do something, but He said transformation doesn't come from Him doing something. Transformation comes from you doing something. I remember when I got that job at the after school program that the Lord blessed me with. That was that miracle, you know, where I didn't even have the right degree for it, and they changed everything for me to get it. But the problem was when I got it, I was terrified. I had feelings of fear and anxiety and just stress. I mean, I was stressed to the max because I was now responsible for 100 kindergartners through fourth graders. I was now responsible for a staff of 15 to 20 people at any time. And if you knew me back then, I was the least qualified person to run an after-school program or to have a group of staff members under me listening to me. I was responsible for the school after school to make sure that each of the teachers' rooms and their stuff was put back and nothing was stolen and nothing was broken. There was so much responsibility and all the parents that came along with it. And I remember those early days not getting sleep and just stressing and stressing. Do you know how you're worried about something? If you're thinking about it over and over again, it's a good sign you're worried about it. Because faith has a rest. Faith just goes to sleep and says, that'll be fine. Yeah. Jesus was sleeping on the boat. They were awake stressing about it. Yeah. Anyways, and so I was so stressed. And I remember being so nervous and just so full of anxiety before my first day. And I remember asking the Lord, Father, take this away from me. Take this feeling away from me. And isn't that how people pray? Isn't that how people approach God? They say, Lord, take this fear away from me. Lord, take this anxiety away from me. Lord, take this depression away from me. And I'll tell you the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is He's not going to. It's just not biblical. He told me, pointing me over to Romans 12, 2, He said, if you want to be changed, Mike. That's my name, Mike. And so He said, if you want to be changed from fear to confidence, from worry to whatever not worry is, not worry, right? From that defeat to victory. He said, if you want to be changed and transformed, I gave you the solution. Renew your mind. Amen. Renew my mind to what? To the Word. You need to replace the thoughts of fear. The thoughts of I can't do this. And you need to put in or renovate with what He said. So you know what I did? I got a note on my daily planner. You know, that's funny itself back then, thinking I had a daily planner, but I did. And I plastered 3x5 cards on the back of that thing and on the front of that thing. And they were scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? So I gutted. And remember this, here's the thing about a renovation. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it's very inconvenient. But when it's done, you're glad you did it. And it's better than it was before. And so I had to take the time. It's the same thing with that financial test and trial. I went into that a doubter and an unbeliever that our needs were going to be met. But I took time and gutted those feelings and took time to renovate my mind. Putting the Word in about finances and listening to financial messages. Was it convenient all the time? No, but when the remodel's done, it's better. Amen. 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 And so I started just quoting those. I'd say, I can do this. I can do all things. I, I'm qualified. He's begun a good work in me. Greater is He that's in me. These kids are going to listen. This is going to go good because of that. And I replaced, and I walked into there with confidence and turned that whole thing around. Went from absolute terror, trembling, fear, and sweaty palms. I mean, I'm telling you, just rubbing them together, you know, so worried, to walking in there so confidently saying, this is how it's going to be. Well, how'd that happen? Not because God shined His happy face upon me. I got re-transformed because I renewed my mind. And that's what I was talking about. You can't even have faith until you renew your mind, because once I renewed my mind, faith rose up on it inside of me. Instead of being sheepish to going down to that cafeteria at 3 o'clock and nervous like a dog with my tail between my legs, I went down there saying, let's do this thing. Now listen up, kids. This is how it's going to be. New sheriff in town. Hallelujah. Praise God. Think about Abraham for a second. We're just going to go with the way the Holy Ghost tells us here. Abraham was told, you're going to have a child. This message kind of goes along with the last two that we just preached about. And Abraham was told, you're going to have a baby. Well, go with me real quick to Romans 4 and verse 17. Let's take a look at what God said. Romans 4 and verse 17. Says, now this is God talking, as it is written, I have made you, I have made you, I have made you. Now if you go back and look at when this took place, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. Not I'm going to when the baby's born. He said, I have made you that right now. Why? Because we see something about God. God quickens the dead. How does He quicken things that are dead? He speaks to them. He calls them alive when they're dead. That's how God quickens the dead. Call those things which be not. Abraham, you're not a dad, but I'm calling you one. And it breathes life in that. But here's the thing. It wasn't just enough that God believed that. Abraham had to what? Replace the thoughts of, I'm 100. My wife is 90. The doctors say, my friends and family say, the internet says, this says, this says. He had to replace thoughts of that and have a remodel, a renovation of his mind, and replace it with, you're a dad. You're going to have a son. As the seed that's going to be as the sand on the shore, the stars in the sky, praise the Lord. He said, through your seed, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, for that to happen, he's got to have a child. He had to replace that. And we know at first he struggled, didn't he? Yeah. Just like at first I struggled with the money. Just like at first I struggled with the fear and the anxiety. Struggled with those things until I did a remodel. Until I did a renovation of the mind. Well, Abraham had to do a renovation of the mind, because at first they were only thinking thoughts of the natural realm and what the thoughts were being put into their head. Can't have a baby. Why? We know they laughed at God. They went out and found a younger woman whose womb was not dead and had relations with Abraham. And they had a baby through that way, which was Ishmael. And it didn't work out well. So he had to gut that for that to come to pass, because the Bible tells us, we don't need to look through here, we've talked about this before, but the Bible tells us that when he received, he was not in a place of laughing at God. He was not in a place of trying to do it his own way and make it happen himself. He was in a place of being fully persuaded. He was in a place of strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? He had renewed his mind to what God had said, and then the transformation came. Amen? What about, we're going to hit some different things here, but here's, before I go on, let me say this. We look at Abraham as having great faith, but his faith started with the renewal of his mind. Amen? Because how you think is how you believe. How you believe is how you receive. If you think wrong, you're going to believe wrong. If you believe wrong, you'll receive wrong. But if you think right, faith will rise up on the inside of you. And then you'll use your faith, and then you'll receive. What about someone like Paul? Paul had to be skilled at the renewal of the mind. Well, he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that got the revelation of the transformation of the renewal of the mind. But think about Paul and the renewal of the mind. Now what we're saying here about the renewal of the mind, because like we said, I don't know if I made that point clear enough. Sometimes I'm not very eloquent in how I get things across. But when you replace your toilet and you replace your shower and the contractors are gone and cleaned up and you've paid them, you are stuck with that shower. When you're in that shower, you can wish and hope it was different, but that's what you got. That, and so you just accept it no matter what. Amen? Well, what am I saying here? Paul was a murderer of Christians. The Bible says he wreaked havoc, dragging men and women off to prison that were following Jesus. He stood there and held the coats of the very people that stoned and killed one of God's children, Stephen. And now God's going to use him to preach to people. Now, think about the human drama here. Because I think a lot of times we just gloss right over these things. Think about it in terms of my family. Serving God. Picture what it would look like in my house, knowing my children, if somebody were to come in and do what Paul did. It'd be chaos. Screaming and crying and tears. It's what would happen. And that's what Paul witnessed. And that's what Paul saw. And there's no doubt that there were family members of Stephen, friends of Stephen that were still on the earth. No doubt some of those men and women that were hailed off to prison and murdered were still had kids, family members, grandparents, aunts and uncles on the earth. And now Paul is called to preach to them. Paul is called to preach. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward unto those things which are before. Well, what does the Bible also say? He that is a receives Jesus is a new creation in Christ. Paul had to be so skilled in renewing of the mind for him to be able to actually write in the Bible that I've never wronged another human being. That's what he said. I've wronged no man. Now, this is what I wanted. So Paul had to be skilled at accepting what God said. You accept that shower and you accept that tub. It's in there now. Amen? It's in there now. Well, the Bible says, if you repent, it's gone. He's forgiven you. That's what it says. And he said, I won't remember your sins. That's what the Bible says. He said, I don't want you to dwell on your past, but go forward. But see, this is where so many Christians struggle. They don't just accept the tub and the toilet that's there. But pastor, see, what God gives you is a get out of jail free card from your past failures and mistakes. But yet so many people want to keep talking to me and bringing up their past failures and mistakes. Let me go ahead and say something real quick here, and don't misunderstand me. And I don't know all the details of things. I'm just going by what people have told me and things that have been said, so I'm not trying to be an expert on this. And I'm not against natural solutions to help you get better. What do I mean by that? Well, I pop ibuprofen every once in a while when I have a headache. I'm not against natural solutions. Things like counseling, things like whatever in the natural, right? I'm not against that stuff. But what I am against is somebody standing up and declaring, I am an alcoholic. I am an addict. As a born-again believer, stop saying that. Because you say, but that's the way the program is. But what are we going to accept? Are we going to accept the tub and the toilet that are there? Which is the best possible thing? Because God says you're victorious. God says you're free. And what happens is, and then people that have been abused, and we're not trying to belittle this, people that have been used and abused and hurt in their past, they constantly replay that. But God is saying, I'm offering you a chance to live as if that never happened to you. But people say, but, pastor, but, you don't understand. And they want to keep living over here. And again, it comes down to, are you going to accept the tub and toilet that's there? Because he said, you can be free from your past. You can be completely forgiven for everything you've done. Stop dwelling on how bad you were treated. Stop dwelling on who did what to you and what you did wrong and all those things. You know what God thinks your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. And we see somebody who was a murderer who actually stood up and said, I've never done a thing wrong to another person. Now, the natural mind and people on the outside of the walls of the church would say that's a liar. But he's taking what God has offered, and if God offers it, God's offerings or promises trump what the natural says. And so if a murderer can say, I've not done it wrong, an alcoholic or someone that's got addictions or someone that's been abused can say, I've never done that before. That's a renewal of the mind. That's where the transformation is going to truly come. Not continuing to say, I'm this. Continue to say, I'm a victim. Because the devil wants to keep you in victim status. You're not a victim anymore. Once you got born again and Jesus entered your life, you became a victor. And you'll either accept it and accept the tub and toilet, or you're going to constantly be renovating and constantly be a mess in your life. Oh, I'm not. His is the best. His is the best. But people stay there. And now we have an example of somebody that couldn't accept it. Judas. Do you know, I believe Judas and Peter pretty much did the same thing. They pretty much turned their back on Jesus and betrayed him. They did it in different ways. But do you think when the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, I will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you think all unrighteousness includes denying Jesus? That's what Peter, I do. Do you think all unrighteousness includes betraying Jesus for money? Absolutely, it's all unrighteousness. Well, Peter, think about Peter. He denies Jesus. He hears the rooster crow. And he's overtaken with guilt, grief, and sorrow. Why? He was with him for 3.5 years. And Jesus' greatest need on earth, he turned his back on him. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? That would feel bad. And Jesus didn't look at him and say, you dummy, you're done. No, Jesus, in fact, came back after he rose again and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep 3 times. I believe it was a twofold purpose for that. Number one, Jesus shows us the importance that sheep need to be fed. That sheep need to be in a position under somebody to be fed, praise God. But also, I believe it was a personal thing that Jesus was trying to tell Peter, you're not done, son. You're not done. Renew your mind. Peter's thinking, I'm done. You'd have think you're done. I'd have thought I was done. And Jesus saying, you're going to be a feeder. You're going to be a feeder. You're going to be a feeder. Replace those thoughts of guilt. Replace those thoughts of shame. It's not over for you yet. And he accepted it and changed the world. Judas could have had the same outcome. But he was so overtaken with his guilt and grief and sorrow and wallowed over there in condemnation, he ended up taking his own life. And I believe that Jesus would have said, Judas, I forgive you. Go preach the word. Amen. If he did it with a murderer and he did it with someone that denied him, why wouldn't he do it for Judas? Hey, it's up to you what you want to live. You know how many people I've talked to that still after years and years keep bringing up the stuff that happened in their past and dwelling on what a victim they are and I'm so worthless, I'm so miserable. They just haven't taken time to replace and they didn't do a gut job yet. This is like a mirror. You got to see yourself in this book. If he says you're free, you're free. That's all there is to it. Except the tub and the toilet, right? Maybe that should be our title for live stream. That'll get people's curiosity up. Except the tub and the toilet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. What about Caleb and Joshua? And the whole children of Israel group there. Well, God said something, but Caleb and Joshua, they renewed their minds to what God said, didn't they? They accepted the tub and the toilet. He said it's our land. That means it doesn't matter that there's walls and cities and fortresses. We just accept and renew our minds. But the other guys went in there and there was a whole mess in their head. Oh, walls, all cities, all fear and worry, fear and worry. Well, it's the same thing. You know, when I was going into that after school program, those same thoughts. Well, what am I going to do? Be dominated by them or replace them with what the word says? See how it'll keep you out of things? Ooh, it'll keep you out of things, ladies and gentlemen. Transformation will be kept from you. Praise God. Go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Talking about not having fear, not having worry, and not having anxiety. And how it's about with the renewal of the mind. Because people will say, Pastor, it's not possible. You don't know where I grew up in. You don't know where I live. You don't know my money situation. You don't know what the doctors have said. You want me to be joy and peace. And you don't understand. Well, I do understand the Bible. And I think God understands. He says in Isaiah 26:3, he says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Isaiah 26:3. "I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind," do you see that there? "Whose mind," perfect peace has everything to do with your mind. You don't want fear going into that room, Pastor Mike? Then do something about your mind. You want to be free from depression? Do something about your mind. You want transformation? You're going to have to do a gut job on your mind. And again, I'm not. Remember my story about condemnation, and I had to listen to a CD over 1,000 times in a year. Now, throughout the process of that year, I got free, but I just kept piling on after that. But it took some time, and it took some effort to gut out all the thoughts that already had been nailed in there and drywalled in there. Had to come in and gut that thing and then replace. There was so much taken out that there was time to put in, but it was worth it. Amen? Hallelujah. You want to do something about your life? It's going to take some time. It's going to take a little bit of effort, but the remodel is worth it. He said, perfect peace is regardless of what you do with your mind. Not your money. That's why I've been passing it. Go to 3 John verse 2. There's only one chapter in 3 John. 3 John verse 2. That's why Pastor Nancy Dufresne preached a message after Dr. Dufresne laid his hands on me and broke that power of that his words were that night that came up out of his hearts were desperate for finances. I heard tonight struggling financially. But when he broke that off of me, that wasn't the end of the story. The transformation can start at that breaking, but the full transformation is going to come through the renewing of the mind. It doesn't say be transformed by the laying on of hands. It's part of the process, but the full transformation has to come with the gut job and a remodel job. Amen. John chapter 3 John 2 says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as." Everybody say, even as.
Even as.
Even as your soul. What's what we already talked about, what the soul was. Soul's not your spirit. He's writing to born-again Christians. Your soul is prospering. The Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. And so he's saying here, your prosperity and your health are not dependent upon your doctor's report and your checkbook. It's dependent upon what's going on between the ears. If this prospers, it'll show up in your money. If this prospers, it'll show up at your job and your businesses. If this prospers, it'll show up in your body. I remember hearing Pastor Nancy say this once, and it was so bold, but it's so true. It goes on about the perfect peace and this. She said, if you think right, when there's seemingly not enough money, it won't trouble you a bit, if you're thinking right. Amen. Symptoms in your body won't trouble you if you're thinking right. I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind? So she stood in front of me for 90% of a message and preached about how if you're going to walk in financial victory, you're going to have to renew your mind. Like, let's pretend that's me and I'm her. She stood, like, right here the majority of the time I preached and sometimes looked right at me and preached it. Well, I was only one of two people that came up that night that were desperate for finances, and I was, and the church was desperate. And so it was needed, and it changed my life from that point forward. I've actually told you, I've never struggled again financially after that service, because I renewed my mind, and it fixed everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's so good, isn't he? So if you want prosperity, it's got to start between your ears. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it this way. I'll give you an example. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that though Jesus was very rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty would be rich. You do know that you're a child of him.
Come on.
What does that mean? Well, daddy's got some resources.
Amen.
Don Jr. and Eric, is it Eric, is that his name? Eric. And Ivanka and Tiffany, you know, they just live a little different because of dad. Amen? Christians ought to live a little different because of dad. Yeah, hallelujah is right. Because of dad. And so the Bible says that he became poor. Where did he become poor? On the cross. So one thing that he died for was your prosperity. So we don't look forward to our prosperity. We look backwards to our prosperity. But see, people will say this. They, like Abraham was saying, I'll be a dad when the kid shows up. God says, no. You have to believe you're a dad now before the kid shows up. If you'll renew my mind to what I said, I've made you a father of many nations. If you'll renew your mind and accept that tub and toilet, the kid will show up. If you'll accept that you're rich right now, and therefore because of that the money comes, you're not rich when the money comes. You are rich. The money comes because you're rich. And this is the story that she told about, she heard a minister talking to a Jewish man. I've told this before, and you've probably heard her say it. And the minister said to the Jewish man, how is it that you're so prosperous? Because it's true. It's not just a stereotype and jokes they tell. Jewish people are very wealthy, a lot of them. And he was wondering, how is it that you prosper, you and everyone around you and your family? And the Jewish man looked at the minister and said, I don't understand your question. And he wasn't trying to be facetious or funny or be a troublemaker, you know. I don't understand your question. So they asked again, how is it that you prosper? It seemed like a simple question to the minister. And the Jewish man said, don't understand your question. Third time asked, and then the light bulb went off for the Jewish man. He said, I understand now. He said, you're trying to separate my prosperity from being a Jew. He said, I'm prosperous because I'm a Jew. Yeah. They're together. Amen. You're not, you have to understand as a Christian right off the bat, because you're his, that makes you rich right now. Amen. And because you're rich, if you'll get your mind renewed to that, what happens? Faith will rise up on the inside of you. You'll release your faith, and then the money will come. But if you're waiting for the money to come, then I'll be rich. You haven't got your mind renewed to the word. He already says you're rich. It's the same with healing. By his stripes you are healed. But I got symptoms. I got sickness. Yeah, I know. But Abraham wasn't a dad either, and God called him one. God calls you healed. You're not healed when the symptoms go away. You're healed because you're his. They go hand in hand. That's the renewal of the mind. Accepting the tub and toilet when the symptoms say otherwise. Yeah. Accepting I'm healed when the doctor says otherwise. Accepting I'm rich when your bills say otherwise. Yeah. I remember hearing a Pastor Nancy preach on this, and it was right when we were in the process of getting that building over there, the old sanctuary, and the home that we got, that I pay for. Just want to throw that out there. My God, you wouldn't believe the things. I mean, it's been a whirlwind lately, but that just means there's something big coming. I'm telling you, watch. Praise the Lord. And when we were believing God for the money to pay for the house that we pay for, and there was no way. There was no way we could do it with the church's finances. There's no way we could do it with our personal finances. And I got that revelation of I'm rich right now. I'm rich right now. I'm rich right now, and so the money's coming. I'm rich, and therefore money comes to rich people.
That's right.
Amen. It was a gut job and then a remodel job. Hallelujah. Why do people struggle so much with the tithe message, with the giving message? Because they haven't just accepted the tub and toilet. They've reasoned with their circumstances and with their bills. Their bills have talked them right out of doing what God has said to do. I meet with people all the time about this, and I try not to be too sarcastic when I'm saying it. I'm being serious when I say it. I think it might come off as sarcasm, but I'll say, do you think that God, do you believe the Bible is true? Yes, okay, well then we have common ground. Do you think that God, if he says something in the Bible, do you think he would lie? No. I said, well, the Bible says, God's word says, if you'll put that tithe in the bucket, if you'll give that offering above the tithe, the windows of heaven will open, multiplication will come your way. And I'll say, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not trying to be mean or whatever, but why? What's stopping you from doing it? Because to me, it seems like dirt to dir. If God said it, this is just how I think, and he said it will get, this will happen, why aren't you doing it? But then I remember and have compassion, remember back to when I first heard it. And the thoughts and the feelings in my flesh that came, you can't do that. You can't afford to do that. Well, I had to gut my thoughts. Amen. and replace them with God thoughts. And see, now it's not an option. I have to accept the tub and the toilet. He says tithe. He says give. There's no option when you've renewed your mind. You have to accept what he says. But remember, it's all on the basis of we know what he says is right. What he says is good. What he says is always trying to lead us into more. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Go with me to James chapter 1. We're almost done here. I've had people. Now, you've been around me for, some of you for many years, you know. I don't preach much about social issues. You know, different social topics that are hot buttons, you know, politically and things like that. I don't preach much on those. I maybe every once in a while mention what God has said about things and about life and, you know, about relationships and stuff. But I've had people get downright angry with me because they feel so strongly about these social issues and were raised a certain way and feel so strongly about it that they won't accept what the Bible says. They'll look at you as you're a bigot and someone that hates and you're not accepting. Wait a minute, I'm accepting of this. Amen. Now, I'll be accepting to you and I'll welcome you, I'll be kind and loving to you, but I'm accepting of this lifestyle. Amen. And that comes down to as well, the renewal of the mind. Even how people vote. And some of the ways people vote for people that stand for things. Now again, we're not probably going to always get the two perfect candidates, but there'll be a lesser of two evils. And there's just certain things, ladies and gentlemen, that certain candidates stand for that I will never be able to cast my vote and stand before Jesus someday and said, I support that. Just won't be able to do it. Won't be able to do it. Why? My mind's been renewed to what he says. Amen. I mean, if you take that a step further, think about how people get involved in the wrong relationships, whether it's heterosexual or even homosexual. Well, it's because I just feel so strongly and I just feel. Renew your mind to what he said and just accept it. The tub and the toilet. James chapter 1. Well, this is going to help people right here. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Well, that's not where I want to stop on, but right there, you renew your mind to that. That means when you're going through a test and trial, turn that frown upside down. Why? Because you're supposed to count it joy. That doesn't mean that you're praising God for sending sickness to you. Oh, Lord, thank you for this sickness. No, he's not the one doing it. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that you made it so I can't pay my bills. I'm so happy I can't pay my bills. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says, count it joy. Well, how is that possible? Well, if you'll renew your mind to something, it will be. Because the next verse says, knowing this. So if you don't know something, you won't be able to count it joy. But if you know something, you will. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh, or that word worketh is the word produces patience. So he says, you can count it joy when you're in the fire. Because what happens? When you release your faith for something, whether it's financial, physical, business, a spouse, a baby, a car, whatever you're releasing your faith for, then you have stepped over into the patience side of faith. And that's where the endurance and the marathon kicks in. And that's where the people start falling out left and right. Because it's not the starting line that's hard to get up to. It's not even going through when the gun sounds and taking the first few steps. Everybody can leave this place after I preach on healing and be excited about their healing coming. Everybody can leave after I preach on prosperity and that God wants you to prosper so that God says you can have a spouse or God says you can have a baby or God says you can have the desires of your heart. And we can walk out of here fired up and go through that starting line and be fired up. But what happens on day 10? What happens on day 20? What happens on year 1? Year 1 in 6 months? Are you still rip-roaring to go or have you fainted? Because the Bible says, he that will reap is the one that faints not. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Can't faint. So this will help you not faint because the Bible says that the trying of your faith works patience. So once you step over and your faith's being tested, that's when, what is faith being tested? That's when you're believing God for something and it's not happening. And it looks like it's not changing. It might even look like it's getting worse. But something's happening. patience is being produced. He said, I don't like patience. I know, that's why you need a gut job. You do, because patience is a good thing, according to the Bible. Again, it's either you're going to accept the tub in the toilet or you're not. I don't like patience. Well, you better change that, because God says patience is a good thing. What do you mean? Well, verse 4. But let means to submit. Just go ahead. I'm going to let you do that. Let patience have her what kind of work?
Perfect
work. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now let me give you a real life example of that. When we went through that trial of being down $2,000 a month, and we went through that for almost 2 years, and at the end of every month, bam, it started again. Bills are going to be due, groceries are going to be needed, the gas is going to be to put in the vehicle, things for Caleb. It's all right in front of you again, and you go through that for 2 years. That's endurance. That's endurance. But here's the thing. Now, at first, you know, I didn't like that whole patience thing. I wanted it changed. I wanted it fixed. But now, on the outside of that, now listen to this. I look back. It says that patience has a perfect work. Well, what's the work? It's perfecting something in you. That which is lacking. That which is not entire. He says that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. When I think about myself now financially, that situation, because the best gold is the one that's refined by the hottest fire. Comes out the purest of the best. That situation stretched me so much. See, when you get a new bow, I do believe now with the technology they make pre-stretched strings, but they first had to stretch them. A lot of times you get a new bow, you know, it takes anywhere from 200 to 500 shots for that string to stretch to settle into place. So if you get a new bow and you're outside and you shoot it for 20 shots and you get that thing sighted in, your 21st shot might go different than where it was sighted in for, because the string's not done stretching. But once the string is stretched, it doesn't go back. Well, in that test and trial, I was stretched through that patience of that endurance. If Pastor Michael just gives me a salary, or if the next day the church is all of a sudden thriving and Pastor Mike gets a salary after 1 month, I'm not the same after 1 month of stretching as I am of 2 years in, or 24 months of stretching. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So I'm stretched during that time. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're $2,000 short a month, and you have a baby there, and you don't have the money coming in, it looks like it's never going to happen. It does something to you when you see the money keep coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. Since that time, there hasn't been a price tag or a financial bill or a situation money-wise that has had me even sweat a little bit. But why am I like that? Because I was stretched. I'm not saying I'm arrived there, but I'm way more complete and entire than I was. In fact, let me give you an example. Just this week, or last week it was, in Olean, you know, we bought that building that I just assumed we were going to have church in it. The two things I know about that building: I was supposed to buy it, and I know I'm supposed to sell it. And that's it. I thought we were going to have church there, and, you know, I assumed wrongly. But so we're believing to sell that thing, and we're in a space right now in a warehouse. Sometimes the heat works, sometimes the heat doesn't. It's in a bad location, you know. It's sitting in the back of a warehouse. It's dark there. It's just not ideal. So we're believing God for a building. So someone told me about a building, and I went to see this building, and it's huge. And there's a humongous parking lot on it. So I call about it. And the lady says, "What do you want to do with the building?" I said, "I want to have a church in that building." She said, "Well, we're leasing it or selling it." I said, "What do you do with the building? Leasing it, selling it?" She goes, we're both, leasing or selling it. And she says, "What do you," and this is just the attitude of the world, she says, "What do you want to do with the building?" I said, I want to have a church. She said, "You do realize the rent is $16,000 a month and the price tag is $1.2 million." And I said, "When can I see it?" And she's stumbling around in her words, "But did you see you wanted a church? It's 20,000 square feet, it's 1.2 million. I know, can I see it?" You think I give a rip about 1.2 million? But why because I've stretched so far in my faith for finances. I've seen God cancel a $100,000 sprinkler system in the courts of New York State in the last minute at the 11th hour so we wouldn't have to do it. I've seen it. You know, most people stress if they're $100, $200 short. I was $2,000 short every month. I saw it come in. It stretched. I had to believe God like no other. I'm not going back to wimpy faith. $1.2 million, who gives a rip? If that's our building, no, that's the key. Is find out if that's our building. I'm praying on it. If it's not, then we'll go on. But still, act of faith. I want to see it. I want to see it. That money price tag. And she's like, okay, I'll get someone down there to show it to you. But you could just tell. But why was that? Because I was stretched and stretched. See, you don't understand at times. Number one, you don't understand what's being put in you in that test that you're going to need for later. You know, a lot of times when people go through boot camp, they don't. You're going through it, you hate it, and you hate it, you hate it. But then when you're on the battle line, you're like, oh, God, thank you. They showed me how to use this. Thank God they showed me how to do this tactic or whatever, you know. Navy SEALs, they go through the worst, you know. Watch some of those shows. And they hate that training when it's going on. But, man, when they're out stranded in the ocean or somewhere waiting for someone to come rescue them and they've been taught how to survive, they're so thankful. Yeah. I'm so thankful when I hear $1.2 million doesn't do anything to me. But why? Because I went through the boot camp financially. Yeah. See, so number one, you don't know what's being put in you. But also, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes that God's orchestrating and moving the chess pieces. That you, maybe your manifestation wouldn't be good if it happened too early. Amen? Oh, for example, say you're, you know, we believe in God. We believe God for, how many months was it, was I confessing? 25 months? 26 months. Believe in God, looking for houses. Well, the whole time, we're going into homes and I'm getting inward witnesses, this isn't the one, and you're thinking it's not working. It's not working. But the whole time, there's a whole renovation going on for the lady that's in our house that I'm paying for. Renovation in our house. If you don't know why I'm saying that, you need to listen to Sunday morning's message. I'm not going back over it. Amen. The electric bill, pay for it. The heat, we pay for it. Praise God. Can I say this? First of all, who would give a rip if the church was paying for it? People would give a rip, but you do realize churches do that for pastors. Yeah. That's right. You do realize that, right? That's right? And you need to know that your pastor on purpose turned it down because the leading of the Spirit said, uh-uh, no help at all, because it's going to be a testimony. Yeah. I'm just telling you, it's just wrong thinking. Yeah. People have just wrong thinking, but we're paying for it. Don't worry. Hallelujah. But the whole time during that time when it looks like we're not going to get a house and it's not working, it's not working, it's not working, the lady that's in the house that we just love, amen? And if it's my house, here's my thought about that house. My bags are packed. The Lord says I got something better for me, and I'm going, praise God. I'm attached to no material things at all. But while I'm in it, I'm going to enjoy it, and it meets our needs right now, praise God. And so anyways, the whole time, that lady can't move until the kind of the assisted. It's a place where you're on your own, but then when you need assisted living and then when you need full-time care, you have full-time care. They're building that down the road, and she can't go anywhere till it's done. And they had already delayed the project for so long. Why? Because we weren't in a position to get it yet. And then the whole time we're waiting, when we're looking for a home, it's being delayed because they're not done building it yet. See, we didn't know all the behind the scenes. You could take it as it's not working and God's not hearing it, or you could look at it as something's being put in me, and something's working that I don't know about. You know, you're believing God for a spouse. Oh, I've been believing God for a spouse for 6 months, and it's not working. I'm just going to go get involved with anybody. Well, wait a minute. What if God has your dream man or your dream woman who lives over in California, and he's got to get them a job to Kansas first, which will transfer them to Pittsburgh, and then somehow the job there will transfer them to Jamestown, Lakewood, South Dayton, Fredonia, and then you'll meet them? You don't know. You don't know. But if you renew your mind that patience is a perfect work, you'll rejoice during that time. We don't know all the workings behind the scenes. But all we do need to do is accept the tub and the toilet, because people get so tripped up in faith when it comes to patience. They think because it's endurance, endurance. No, you have to renew your mind that patience is a part of faith. Hebrews 12:6 says, receive the promises of God through faith and patience. Let patience have her perfect work. They go hand in hand. You can't have a peanut butter and jelly without the peanut butter and the jelly. You need them both. You can't have faith without the patience part of it. To receive the promises of God, it has two ingredients, faith and patience. Faith and patience. You need it. Amen. And if your mind's renewed to that, so let's, oh my gosh, almost 8 o'clock, let's get you out of here. You'll never come back on a Wednesday night. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Let's close with this. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Okay, so then how do we do the renewing of the mind? Well, you got to replace. It's got to be a consistent replacement. A constant work on that thing. Remember, we said renovations sometimes are messy. Sometimes they're not convenient. But if you want the end result, you go through the hassle of not being able to use a toilet or a tub, or maybe your kitchen's a little out of order, or the dust is flying, and you just go through the hassle because you know when it's finished. Amen. You know, listening to a message 1,000 times in a year was not convenient, but when it was finished, I was free. You know, pumping those scriptures into me constantly about finances and turning the TV off and turning the Bible school material up on finances wasn't convenient, wasn't fun for my flesh, but when it was all said and done, I can go look at a $1.2 million building and not even bat an eye at it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm just not moved by it anymore because of that test. I'm so grateful for that time. Thank you, Lord. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law, the word of God, remember, what do we renovate with? The word shall not depart out of your mouth. Number one, you need to be speaking it. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm a dad, I'm a dad, I'm a mom, I'm a mom, I'm a spouse, I'm a husband, I'm a wife. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm a prosperous business owner. Amen. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. You, I'm a new homeowner, I'm a new car owner. I mean, whatever you got to say. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night. Day and night. You know what Brother Hagin said about renewing the mind? And I'm not going to any more verses, so don't worry. He said, the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Now think about that. And we'll use me as an example. My old hair gel, they stopped selling it, and I went into a frantic. I mean, a panic, because one thing you don't know about me is you don't get the pleasure of seeing me when I wake up in the morning. And when I wake up in the morning, there are hair shooting everywhere. I was blessed with the colic anointing. And now Caleb has the colic anointing. You know, the Dennis the Menace type stuff and shooting every which way, you know. And I said to my hairdresser, I said, Sherry, they're doing all these new fancy cuts where they cut it real short on the side and leave it longer on top. I want to do that. She said, no, you don't. Your colics will not allow that. Just accept what you have. Accept the tub and the toilet. I have to renew my mind that I can't look like Vinny. That my hair will never look like Vinny's hair. Hallelujah. And neither will Bill's. Or you, Mark, back there. It's just not going to happen. You can't hide. Anyone else in here? I'll just keep it to myself. And so they got this, so I was searching, I had bought a bunch on eBay. Someone had a stash of it, and I bought some of it. And I'm running low, and I'm starting to panic, because when I wake up in the morning, it's every which way. And I need something strong to hold it. And so I found this new stuff at the Sally Beauty Salon stores that they have. It's green, and it's called Demented. And that stuff, that's what's in there tonight. You have a demented pastor. But here's the thing. I'll go to bed tonight. Now, you might not like it, but this is where I put it. It went where I put it tonight, right? Got it on my fingers and put it where I wanted it. I'll go to bed tonight, and it'll be like this. But when I wake up in the morning, it won't be like this. The mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Every day I got to do my hair. Every day and night, you got to be in the Word. If you want a true mind renewal, you got to be in the Word all the time. Amen. A remodel's not convenient, and a remodel might be a little messy and not the most convenient, but it's worth it when it's over. Amen? Amen? So whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're believing God for, you need to renew your mind so much that you're so sold out that's what he said you can have, having confidence, being fully persuaded in that, the faith giant starts at the renewal of the mind. Were you helped tonight? Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy. You are so good to us, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Father, if you've said we're rich, then who cares what our bills are saying? You'll take care of it. We'll put our faith in you. The money will come. If you said we're healed, then we don't give credence to the symptoms. We don't believe and put our faith in the symptoms. If you said it's not good that man should be alone, but that he that finds a wife finds a good thing, and it looks like it's a dry desert land out there, Father, of finding somebody, well, we thank you we're a spouse. We believe it. We believe it in Jesus' name. If you said we could have a child, then we can have a child. We renew our mind to that. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm rich. Say, I'm healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Everybody say, I'm free. I'm free. Glory to God. You need to renew your mind that you're free. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. My past mistakes don't matter. Everybody say, I'm as white as snow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Our past mistakes do not determine our future. What we do with our past mistakes determines our future. We will not let them hold us down. Now, Father, I know there's nobody in this room that's not born again, but if somebody's listening by live stream, and you can say, I've never asked Jesus into my heart, that's the way to get to heaven. Number one, you believe in him, that which that's what would trigger you asking him into your heart. So first you must believe in Jesus, the Bible says, to get to heaven. Not all religions, not all roads lead to heaven. Good works doesn't lead to heaven. Generosity doesn't lead to heaven. Being a kind person, a moral person, doesn't lead to heaven. The only thing that leads to heaven, Jesus said, you must come through me. He said, I'm the way, I'm the way, I'm the way, I'm the way. Good works isn't the way. Buddhism isn't the way. Being a Muslim, that's not the way. Giving to charity's not the way. Not swearing's not the way. Helping old ladies across the street, that's not the way. I am the way, Jesus said. The truth and the life. No man, no man, no man comes to the Father except through me. So first, you must believe in him that he died and rose again. Second of all, you must receive him. You must ask him into your heart. So if you're listening by live stream and you've never done that, it's so easy. All you do is say, Lord, I believe in you and I ask you to come into my heart. And I thank you for saving me. And if you prayed that prayer, you get a hold of us. You shoot me a text, send me an email, post something on Facebook, let us know. Give us a call and we'll get back to you and get you started on your best life ever. Let's just worship him tonight. He offers you a better way, but you got to get your stinking thinking out of the way. Some of you need to have demolition night on your mind. And then a remodel. Some of you have believed and believed and believed that you're going to be poor the rest of your life. And it's never going to change. Your mind needs to be renewed. Some of you believe that thing's never going away in your body. You need to have your mind renewed. Some of you believe your situations never turn around. You need to have your mind renewed. So we're going to have a gut job and a remodel job. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Love all of you. Thanks for coming. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed. All that you promised, you're seeing through.